I'm Mark Bayshore. So how many times have you planned a little winter getaway vacation and when it was over you came back home having gained a few pounds? Well, now that it's getting colder, we all know that birds like to take winter trips, but they bulk up a bit before they travel. Current State's Kevin Lavery took a little trip to the woods to learn more. So, Kevin, gaining a little weight is actually a good thing for a bird?
It actually is. Mark, birds need to build up their fat reserves to have the energy for that incredibly long migration south. Most birds in Michigan fly to the tropics. The Kirtland's warbler, for example, has standing reservations in the Bahamas. So I went out to Bath Township yesterday to learn how the experts track all kinds of frequent flyers. The Burke Lake Bird Banding Station in Bath Township is certainly out of the way. I've had to park across the road, and I have to follow the signs into the woods, so hopefully I can find the place. Morning. How are you guys?
My name is Zach Poland, and I work at Burke Lake Banding Station as the bander. This is my third year here.
Band number should be 09, is that correct?
09, yep.
So what we have here is a golden crown kinglet, and right now I'm putting the band on the bird, making sure that it's completely flush. This guy is going to have this band for the rest of his life, so we want it to look good on there. And one of the first things I look at on a golden crown kinglet is its crown. What we're looking for is for orange to be concealed under the yellow coloration on the crown. And as you can see on this guy, by blowing, there's extensive orange underneath that yellow. What we can know from that is this is a boy. This is a male. Females will not have that orange. And unlike a lot of birds, these guys are very easy to tell the differences between males and females.
I'm Jen Owen. I'm associate professor in fisheries and wildlife and the Department of Large Animal Clinical Sciences.
You're holding a very tiny bird in your hands,
yes.
Jen.
This is a winter wren. So this is one of the birds that comes later in the fall. We just started catching them within the last week. So this is one of the smallest birds that we're actually catching. They're actually a little bit of a challenge because they get into our mist nets and they like to do a little bit of acrobats in there. But they are definitely a very cute bird.
And it's a nice, like a chestnut brown color. And
yes.
It has, almost reminds me of pheasant tail feathers.
Oh, right, from the barring. So this is definitely something you'll see in wrens. And that is the dark coloration of this wren and the small size is kind of what distinguishes it from other wrens. Like the house wren is a larger, still brown but lighter color, whereas the winter wren is really this deep, dark brown, chestnut brown.
Right now it's fall, the start of fall, the migration period is happening for many different species. What does banding really tell us about the life cycle of a bird and where it travels or how old it is?
What banding gives us that's different than, say, just going out in the woods and spotting a bird with your binoculars and recording it is that by handling the bird, one, we get to look at its condition, the amount of fat that it has on it, its amount of muscle stores, how much it weighs. These are very important attributes of a successful migration. So a bird that is able to put on fat, it's very important for them to be able to then fly and make that migration south.
Are you just warming it up by blowing on it?
Actually, I blow on it to part the feathers, and this is how we collect the data on a lot of things like fat and muscle. Once you part these feathers, you can look at fat, muscle, you can look for ticks, and it's just the easiest way to kind of survey these birds for the data we collect.
And you can see fat and muscle in the fraction of a second it takes to blow on the bird.
Yes, when you ban thousands of birds a year, you get a little routine going where it comes a little quicker then.
Wow.
We use a scale for fat, which goes from 0 to 6. This means that when we look at a bird and look at the extent of the fat stores, we're looking in kind of the throat region and the abdomen. A 0 would be 0 fat, no fat. A 6, which we don't get here, would be essentially a complete sheet of fat all the way over its keel. And so when Zach's blowing on those feathers, he's looking to see the extent of that fat, and then he scores it with the 0 to 6 score.
I have a fat scale in my bathroom. I do not like looking at it. I do not like recording data on it.
We make birds feel good about being fat here. We like fat birds.
Comes in handy at Thanksgiving, too.
Yes.
My name is Callie Gismundo, and I'm the site coordinator for Burke Lake Banning Station. And this is my third fall working here.
You're holding a very noisy bird. What is this?
So this is a Swainson's thrush. And it's one of our more common caught thrushes here at the station. It's also one of the farther migrants, so it's going to go all the way to Central America, South America.
He does not like being held.
I think he's okay, honestly. He's just noisy. Every individual sometimes has little quirks, and this one just seems to be really loud for some reason. I'm sure he'll fly away fine. He'll be okay.
Halfway through this interview, we came across the find of the day, maybe even the whole year.
This is an adult female rusty blackbird, and when we're banding these guys, some of the things that we look for is the coloration, the amount of rusty on their head, the coloration of their underwings, and like most blackbirds, the measurements of their wings. 50.3 is the mass.
And this bird is truly a canary in the coal mine. This bird gives us some information about its ecosystem.
It does, and I think it's great, the amount of effort that a lot of organizations are putting into documenting rusty blackbirds throughout migration.
You found a rusty blackbird. Those are incredibly rare.
They are, and this is a bird, a species, that we feel incredibly privileged to be able to capture. Previously, the station only operated until September 30th, but now that we're running into October, when rusties are starting to migrate, we are starting to catch them. And we also have our nets in habitat that is perfect for rusty blackbirds. So yeah, it is a privilege to be able to capture a species that is experiencing such significant declines and sort of help with documenting and banding individuals, because that is really important for the conservation, is to just get a better understanding of birds, rusties during their migration and numbers, so forth.
Dr. Jen Owen is an associate professor in the MSU Department of Fisheries and Wildlife. Jen, thanks for the opportunity today.
It was great to have you out here, Kevin, on this beautiful fall migration day.
Callie Gismundo, thank you, Callie.
Thank you very much.
And Zach Poland.
Thank you. Thanks for coming.
So now a little postscript to this story. I've learned over the years as a reporter to pay attention to what happens in the first few minutes after you've turned off the recorder. As I was in my car driving away from Burke Lake, I looked over and I saw in a field two large sandhill cranes having a conversation. For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.